Yes.
Yes.
All right, we're recording.
All right. Let me get the agenda up so I can have a little bit of the organization here. Okay, we'll go ahead and call the July 10th meeting for Occupational Therapy Examiners to order at 1:31. We'll start with a roll call. Quentin McAllister, present.
Arlene Mars, present.
Barbara, you have to unmute. I don't know if that's the... I'm just guessing.
Oh, I can't... Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
I just muted you.
Oh, okay. Because I'm on my phone.
I don't know which one I unmuted you on, but...
Okay. It worked.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. I'm present.
All right. Item three, are there any conflicts of interest? I don't
Barbara
have...
Paulson, I have none.
Charlene, any conflicts of interest?
I have none.
Okay. I don't. All right, moving on along to item four, future board dates, August the 14th, September the 11th, and October the 9th. As that stands, that shouldn't be any problems for me. If either of you guys have a conflict, please let us know as soon as possible so we can have a quorum.
Barbara, I do not have any problems.
And I'm sorry, Charlene.
I don't have a conflict either.
Okay, excellent. All right, moving on along. Item five, approve last month's executive session and regular session meeting minutes. Are there any corrections to be added, or do I have a motion to approve those?
Mr. Chairman, this is Charlene Marms. I make a motion that we approve the meeting minutes from our June session.
I'll second the motion. Please advise we need a roll call vote. So, aye.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
We spoke after the last meeting about having the executive director do the roll call so we didn't have people speaking over each other.
Absolutely.
So, for each vote, I'll call out the names.
Great.
Okay, so Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marks?
Aye.
And that motion carries 3-0. So we're moving on to item six, and that's a review and consideration of possible action on applications for licensure. That's 6A. One is Alexander Burke, and I believe he is present. And that was the case that we tabled from last month. Mm-hmm. And we have the new information just to kind of review. There was some shoplifting charges initially, and then there was another case after that with fraud with multiple felonies for forgery and election charges, election-related forgery charges. So I want to open up the floor for that discussion and questioning for Alexander Burke.
Does Mr. Burke have a statement to make before at all?
Absolutely. Just to clarify on the later charges, they have been dropped down by two levels, so there are no felony convictions anymore. And just to explain what happened a little bit, I was working over a winter break for a company ran by my ex-spouse's brother, or he was our manager, and we were told that when we went door-to-door, if one person wasn't home, their family members could sign on their behalf. As it turns out, that is illegal. My spouse did that. I did that. Everyone that works for the company did that. My spouse took it a step further and also said, well, if, you know, their husband can sign for them, I can just sign for them too. I did not do that, but because of my association with her, I was also held partially accountable for that. everyone that worked for the company was has not same charges, and I followed through with all the necessary probation. I did everything that I was supposed to do. It was obviously a very poor choice on my decision, and I should have been more aware of the laws governing that temporary work that I was doing, and I shouldn't have just assumed that it was okay. And I've since very much learned my lesson about being aware of those governing laws. But it was an incident that I think needs to kind of be taken in light with some of those extenuating circumstances where the training said that we could do it and everyone was taking part. And it's just one of those really weird circumstances that isn't very often seen.
And again, what was the timeline on the shoplifting? I didn't see that information in there. What year was that?
I'm going off of memory, so this is very much an estimate, but I would say it was approximately August of 2014.
Okay.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Mr. Burke said he was about 19 years old at the time, so I don't know if you can figure from that.
Mr. Chair, according to the shoplifting court summary, it was in August of 2015.
Okay, 15. So we had the shoplifting charges in 2015, and then the forgery and election charges in 2017. And I think, from where I'm coming from, these are fairly new. They're not that old, and they're definitely crimes of moral turpitude, and the connection with occupational therapy is, you know, forgery and fraud and stealing can all take place against a very dependent patient in a very vulnerable position, whether it be, you know, fraudulently doing documentation so you can get paid for a home health visit or to meet a RUG level on in a skilled unit, or taking something from, you know, there's various reasons why I think personally this is a very heavy decision in this case, because these are very serious charges and they're not very old.
Yes, Mr. Sherman, I agree that the recency of it is very scary. I'm not sure if the timeline shows this, but it was approximately a year between the event occurring and me actually being sentenced, so it may appear more recent than it actually was in that regard. And I also am not sure if you had time to review, but I turned in approximately 15 letters of professional character reference, showing that since this time I've been in clinical settings and had no issues whatsoever regards to feeling or ethical decision making. And I think that I've pretty much shown that while I've had obvious and significant lapses in judgment, I've made major changes in my life, and I've come a long way, and I've used this as an opportunity to learn and to grow, and there are many people who are willing to speak on my behalf and show that I have the opportunity to contribute greatly to the field of occupational therapy. I also have an employer who is aware of the situation and has still hired me and is hoping that I will be able to start a job.
Mr. Chair, could I follow up a little bit on that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Mr. Burke, I read your many letters, and they're very supportive and highly complimentary. You on a wide range of skills and attributes, including your work ethic, reliability, and commitment. So, as you just said, it's quite clear that you were.
Barbara? Can anyone hear me?
I did know it was unethical, unquote, yet you did it. So I'd just like to probe a little bit and ask if you could take a moment of more self-reflection and speak to the changes you've made within yourself as to why you would not consider or be inclined to make such a decision in your responsibility as an occupational therapist.
I think that what I've learned from where I was in the past is that in the past I saw things as a little more black and white, and I was a little more inclined to say, if I think it's illegal, or if I think you don't meet certain requirements, that, or if someone tells me it's okay, then it's okay, even if I might think it seems a little bit shady. And I have since very much come to understand that there are many shades of gray, and then if it falls in the gray, that doesn't make it okay, ethically speaking. And I have learned that I need to be much more aware of where it falls in that ethical circumstance. And I've learned a lot in school about the ethics associated with occupational therapy and exactly what's expected of me in a professional circumstance. And educated myself on certain ethical dilemmas that I might be exposed to so that I can be prepared when I'm in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing that.
I have a question for Mr. Burke. Mr. Burke, did you say you are employed currently, or you're waiting to be employed?
I have a signed job offer that I need licensure in order to start. It's in a public school system, and so it will be starting on the 24th is my anticipated start date, but I obviously cannot start until I'm licensed in the state.
Okay, thank you for the clarification.
I think I would like to make a motion to go into executive session for legal advice. Do I have a second?
Barbara Paulson, I will second that.
Okay, the roll call vote. You. Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Motion carries 3-0, so we'll go ahead and go into executive session for legal advice.
And please state the time.
At 1:44, thank you.
Okay. All right, for those members of the public that are on the phone, I'm going to move you out to our lobby so you don't hear what happens in executive session, and as soon as it's over, I'll move you back into the meeting. Recording.
All right, and we are on item. Excuse me for 1 second.
At 2 o'clock p.m.
Yes, we're at 2 o'clock, and we're on item 6A1, Alexander Burke. I would like to table this briefly to move to item 9D, open board positions, to ask Aaron, kind of get the update on that, to see if there is a bid for a new board for an empty board member next month.
Okay, Mr. Chair, item 9D, the open board member positions. I actually am just about to send out the email to all licensed occupational therapists and occupational therapy assistants. I have not heard anything from the Governor's Office of Boards and Commissions. I would imagine it's going to be a few months, but I can't really speak for the Office of Boards and Commissions. It could take a week. It could take another year.
Okay. All right. So we'll back to Alexander Burke, and I'll open the floor for discussion on potential license. Personally, I struggle to want to move to a license due to the history of the Pritchard crimes and the fourth in the election charges to the shoplifting charges after that are all things that are very concerning and things that say or things that aren't of moral care or virtue. So where I'm at is I'm really struggling to be able to make a motion to approve that license. I'll open it up for the other board members to make their statements as well, and we can go from there.
Mr. Chairman, this is Charlene. I too am struggling. This is very difficult. Whereas I see Mr. Burke is working very diligently to turn his life around, and that's commendable. I do have a concern about the nature of the charges. And you made a statement earlier about vulnerable people that receive therapy. They're vulnerable for illness or, you know, whatever is going on with them at the time. I feel that these charges, although reduced, they're still very recent. And I just have a concern. I just have a concern about issuing the license. But I'd love to hear if Ms. Polson has anything to say also as we talk about this.
Okay. I must say I don't agree with both of you 100%. I think Mr. Burke has put in time, effort, a lot of work, made some major changes in his life, which I applaud. Change is never easy. I can see, I would agree to granting his license and attaching a consent agreement to that, that we've granted license and that would be valid if he would agree to sign and follow through any items we put into a consent agreement. I'm thinking maybe some CEs. I'm sure Mr. Burke has probably had a course or two. Ethics is a major area. I can see having him read and write something after reviewing our state statutes and rules in a specific area. I'm not sure if there are other things that we could put into a consent agreement. But that's kind of where I'm going, whether it's disciplinary or non-disciplinary. I just feel struck. I think he deserves a chance to have a license. So that's it for me right now.
Charlene, I'd like to expand on that. As the only occupational therapist on the board right now, we work with children in schools, children in homes, with very ill, critically ill inpatient acute care patient, inpatient. I can't tell you how many times I've probably been around somebody's wallet on the dresser or, you know, valuables like close by or even to change that to be in a situation where my boss is asking me to you know, maybe bill a little extra because I'm sure that I had five more minutes doing something. Things like that. So there's just so many ways to be tempted to commit fraud, whether it's bullying or you know, mm-hmm. opportunity to take advantage of someone who's sick, by stealing something from them, or and then when I think about well, you know, if you're in a desperate situation, well, we in a lot of ways we kind of are in a desperate situation right now. COVID-19, because It's changed the way we've delivered therapy. You know, a lot of therapists have lost an income due to that, and it would cross someone's mind potentially to go ahead and just do that note to get that pay for that and commit. So those are some of the things that kind of go through my mind when we talk about, you know, the opportunities of a therapist. I know there's a stack of letters there, and they're all from people in a superior position than Mr. Burke. As a therapist, you are the one that's in the superior position, and that's what is probably the most concerning for me. For me, I think I would like to see Mr. Burke maybe work in a position where he wants to be in as a therapist. Maybe if that's schools, then maybe work as an aide for a little bit and kind of get a little bit more behind him, a little more positive feedback from additional employers that are close to those fields.
Thank you. I respect that.
Yes, and thank you for the additional clarification, Mr. Chairman, as well.
I would like to respond to you, Mr. Chair, on a couple of the statements you made. And one that popped into my mind is, you know, is there an extensive pattern of a specific behavior of theft or whatever? And let's just throw in the question out there. And also to be mindful that we have had other occupational therapists or DOTAs come before us with similar issues and had nothing in their past. And you know, they had been in the field for years. And they did a one-time thing or, you know, and so So it's not just hard and fast and black and white, in my opinion.
Right.
I agree too. It's not hard and fast and black and white by any means. I definitely agree with you.
It's you know, the newness of these events combined with what type of events they are or what leans me towards denial of the license.
Mr. Chair, I have a question for you as an occupational therapist. So when you're a brand new therapist, and I believe Mr. Burke said he was going to be working in a school district, isn't there not some kind of supervisory person assigned to you or someone you report to or oversees you as being, you know, new to the staff or not?
Not necessarily. As a new therapist in a school, you might get some mentorship and some guidance as far as the processes of the district, but as far as oversight for billing, things like that, it would be very unlikely.
Mr. Chairman, I can actually speak to that. I'm going to be contracted through a company called Futures, and I will have a direct supervisor.
Right. I mean, anybody that works in a school district is going to have a direct supervisor. It's the level of supervision. As a therapist, you aren't supervised per se. And I mean, honestly, you know, the difference between an assistant and an OT, the supervision's quite different, right? So it might even be a bit of a different situation if you were applying as an assistant versus a full therapist because of the amount of autonomy that you have in the field, whether it's a contract position in direct hire or skilled nursing or home, you know.
That makes sense. I would say too that although I'm not an occupational therapist, I was a special education teacher for many a year who worked in teams with OT, CT, speech, and oftentimes, you know, they would come to me to get information on how the person was, did they show up, you know, whatever it was. So there's some loose supervision or getting input from others, you know, about a specific person, if they're particularly if they're new on the staff, or not always if they're new.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, there's always during, you know, during IEPs and things like that, there's always that team interaction, and then beforehand and the discussion of treatment, things like that. Mm-hmm. And that wouldn't necessarily be my concerns for this particular case. Sure. Do you have anything additional to add?
I don't. I think you've made some very good points. I think Ms. Paulson has made some very good points. And then, you know, just the commentary that I had as well. So I don't have anything else at this point.
I would make a motion to deny the license based on ARS FB2-3423, A, moral character, B, having a felony or misdemeanor of moral turpitude, and that's section 1 and 2, that refers to section 1 and 2 of B, and that points to 32-3401 for the felony or misdemeanor. Do I have a second for the motion?
This is Charlene Marbs. I second.
All in favor?
Roll call vote. Quentin McAllister.
We'll give Karen a second to do the roll call.
Sorry, I forgot to unmute. Quentin McAllister.
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Nay.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Motion carries 2-1. Sabrina, did you need to clarify or articulate any of the?
No, I think you did a good job. I have it, and that's it.
Okay. Okay, so we will move on to item 6A2,
Mr. Chair, before we move on, Ms. Khan, don't we have to provide some kind of a document about the denial? And if there are other steps?
Yes, it will be in written form, and it will be sent to Mr. Burke.
All right, thank you.
And then if he wants to request a hearing, that will be explained in the documentation for Mr. Burke.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, so that takes us to Hannah Fletchell. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that name right. I don't believe she's present. She is a review, and that was not a crime of moral turpitude. It was minor in possession. If there's no discussion, I will go ahead and make a motion to approve that license. Do you have a second?
Barbara Paulson, I'll second that.
All in favor?
Roll call vote. Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Motion carries 3-0. That takes us to Daniel Kang. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes.
More of an issue of reading my own handwriting. Sorry.
No, that's correct. Daniel Kang. Yeah.
All right. It looks like you had a battery charge. Do you want to... It looks like it was also expunged.
Yes.
Okay. Did you want to make a statement?
I mean, other than... the written statement I've provided, I would be happy to answer any questions the chair or the rest of the board would have for me or want me to clarify.
Are there any questions or any discussion for Mr. King's license?
I have one question. Were you a minor at the time?
This occurred in 2016, so I was about 22.
Thank you.
Barbara Paulson, I have no questions. I thought he outlined it clearly to what happened. So.
All right, do we have a motion?
Sure, I'll make a motion to approve Daniel Kang's application for licensure.
I'll second the motion. All in favor?
Roll call vote, Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
And Charlene Marbs?
Aye. I'm sorry, Charlene, was that aye?
It was an aye.
Okay, it cut out for a second. Okay, motion is 3-0. And that takes us to item 7. And that looks like we have 7A, we have 45 initial applications to ratify. I'll make a motion to ratify those 45 initial applications. Do I have a second?
This is Charlene Marks. I second.
All in favor?
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marks?
Aye.
Motion carries 3-0. 7B, we have 100 renewals to ratify. I'll make a motion to approve that as well. Do I have a second?
Barbara Paulson, I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Motion carries 3-0. That brings us to item 8, and there's nothing new on the agenda there, so moving on to item 9. I'll go ahead and turn that over to Karen for statistics when she is ready.
Okay, item 9A, statistics. We have 4,068 active licensees, 90 current inactive licensees, two active consent agreements with the next item due on November 6th, and 10 open investigations, and one was just added yesterday. Does anybody have any questions about that?
I do not.
Okay.
No, I do not.
Item 9B, COVID-19 related license requirement waivers. We've received a lot of requests for waivers this past month. You can see by the numbers there for the fingerprint waivers, we're up to 94. NBCOT exam waivers, 31. Continuing education waivers, 38. And fee waivers, 49. And for most of those, about half of them have been just in the past month. Item 9C, administrative project status, policies and procedures. There's one policy and procedure that I am going to update regarding the lawful presence or proving lawful presence in the application process. We received some guidance for the other agency that I am the director for, so I'll duplicate that document and have the board take a look at it before it's official. Let's see, 9C shredding, 9C2 shredding of expired license files. I have not made any progress on that. And item 9C3, which was on last month's agenda, and it's back on there, the conversion to Google Meet. I decided against doing it. I made an executive decision. I had one meeting on Monday and discovered you cannot move people to the lobby. There was something else major in there that you could not do. So, you know, I think it's worth the expense because especially this board, we have a lot of executive sessions and we need to be able to put people in the lobby and not have them call back in a certain number of minutes. It makes it easier for everyone.
Yeah.
And then item 9D, we talked about that previously.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anything to add for next month's agenda?
Mr. Chair, if I could direct your attention, sir, back to agenda item 5B, the executive session minutes, and without discussing the content of the minutes, I just wanted to bring to your attention that the location should be changed to WebEx. So if you're comfortable with that, if you wouldn't mind just doing an amended motion to change the location to WebEx. Or whatever we did, was it Google Meets, however we did it telephonically.
Yeah, it was WebEx last month.
Was it WebEx? Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So, going back to item 5B, you said 5B, right? The executive session. Okay. I'd like to make a motion to amend to reflect that meeting was held on WebEx. Do I have a second?
Barbara Paulson, I'll second that.
All in favor?
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Body carrier 3-0. Thank you, Sabrina.
Sure.
Keeping it straight. All right. Nothing else for next month. I'll make a call to the public. Not sure there's anybody on at this point.
I think they all hung up.
Thank you.
All right, we will adjourn at 2:23.
All right.
All righty.